So this is Fiona Liddell, a volunteer with Friends of Cardiff Reservoirs, and I'm interviewing Owain Manuel, who we all know as Gruff.
That's right. Yeah.
And we're at the Lisvain and Llanisian Reservoirs. This is part of the Digital Memories Collection project that we're running as a Friends group. So, Gruff, you were one of the first full-time member of staff to be appointed to work at the site. So
that's right, yeah, yeah.
Tell me about that.
So, a bit of context then for that. I was working beforehand as a seasonal ranger at Land Egfed. I'd been there since 2015. And back in 2021, sort of post-COVID, we were a little bit... It was up in the air about the seasonal hours, and we would normally start round about the 15th of February, which seasonal wise we would be off for the winter and then come back at that time. And I didn't hear anything. And I said, oh well, okay, what's going on? And then my line manager at the time said, listen, we are looking to send you and Kai, who's also one of the other seasonal rangers at the time, we're going to ask you to go down Lisvain and Llanisian. I said, right, okay. Never been here before, ever. I said, absolutely fine. We'll go down. What do you want us to do? I said, right, well, we've got a little bit of project work for you to do down there. There's a little bit of cutting back, a little bit of making secure, and we just need some ranger presence on the site. So that was back February of 2021. We were there until the Easter. And then it was going to be, right, you're coming back to Llandeg now, which is Llandeg further over in Pontypool. And then that'll be that. So we thought, great, come down, do a bit. They were paying for it. I think we knew that they were getting ready to ramp up all the sort of the site and sort of manning it properly and everything else. Anyway, go move on maybe like to sort of the May sort of time, end of May, June time. Mark Davis, who was the visitor attractions operations manager to oversee all of visitor attractions, he was working out of Llandeilford at the time, and he said, can I have a meeting with you? So we went upstairs, so he said, listen, I've got a proposition. He said, we saw the work you were doing down there, how would you like the opportunity? Obviously, you have to interview and everything else, and we'll go through the channels properly, but how would you like the opportunity if you have a full-time ranger job down with Lisvain? I said, well, I'd be foolish not to go for it. So as I was a seasonal ranger at the time, and it'd been a long time since a job offer had come up, so I thought, great, I'll do that. So I did, was successful, and then they recruited Alex, who he now works with Dam Safety, and then the pair of us then were ready to go sort of about November time, 2021, and we arrived on site right around when Peter Sturgis was due to do his first fungi surveys. So we were straight in, and sort of, I knew the site, obviously, because I spent a couple of months here, but I hadn't seen it during its heyday when all the fungi were coming out, and I'd been told about these fungi. So, yeah, and that's basically how we started, and Peter took us around, gave us a full induction of the site, the history of the site. I was like, wow, okay, a lot to learn here. Talked about the RAG group and everything else, and so that led on to a massive research spur for me then to go and see what I was dealing with. And so, yeah, and then that's kind of where we were at the end of 2021. And then beginning in 2022, then we were kind of, they were talking about volunteers coming in. The RAG group had now become friends of, mostly. So we got to meet all of you guys and then start running the volunteer sessions. And kind of that is how it all began, really.
So, and what was the site like when you were here? Is this before the visitor centre?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's before they broke ground. We were here. We actually started off this site. Funny enough, me and Alex, we used to turn up in our cars with no building, no facility. Like, we had the cabin, no toilet, which we shared with the security guards. But we were literally basically living out of our cars and all the tools I had in my car, in the boot of my car, and we'd just take some hand tools down. We had no strimmers or anything else. It was all done by hand, really. So we did what we could. Fencing stuff as well. There was massive gaping holes in the fence. People were coming on the site, so we were having to do regular patrols. And that's basically what we were doing all day, every day. We were either working in the woods, cutting things back, or we were patrolling and making sure people weren't getting in on site.
You know? Any particular tricky issues you had to handle?
Well, I mean, just the usual, just kids mainly. And a lot of dog walkers as well. So But they're all fairly, you know, respectful. But we had nothing really too hairy, to be honest. And once I think word got around that there were Rangers back on site, it kind of deterred a lot of people that maybe frequenting, you know, for dog walking and stuff. So and then we got the Harris fencing up then, and that kind of that really put an official stamp on the fact that they were doing something with the site, you know.
So you were here during the day and then security team?
That's right,
night?
Yeah. So we 24 would, hour we would be 8:30 to 4:30 and then security would take over from us then, and so they'd be 24 hour on the clock, there'd be somebody here, you know. So and we were based over this site at first, where the visitor centre is. And then we, the January of 2022, then we had the containers moved over to the other side. And then Annie had purchased the blue welfare container, which we were doing the volunteering out of. And we lived out of there then. And that was our home for like, well, I want to say 18 months, something like that, till we opened the visitor centre middle of 23. So
at what point did the contractors start working?
So Knights Brown then would be... middle of 22. So I remember the, because it was a hot summer 22, and I remember them starting beginning of the summer, sort of May time, I think it was. We before that though, we had in the February, we had the NRAW project with the lottery funding, and that provided all the cherry laws to be taken out. So. All the pond area and the woodlands over Reader Penai side, it were completely gutted to cherry laurel and chipped, and it was really transformative. I got some before and after pictures, which I'll share with you and you can put on if you want. But yeah, it's like night and day.
So. And am I right, volunteers were involved in helping?
That's
at that
right,
stage,
yeah. So the initial thing
all
was done by
behind the locked gates to help with the cherry laurel.
That's it,
I remember.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. So the initial taking out was done by the contractors, and then all the mopping up then was done, and sort of the ongoing maintenance, if you like, was done with the Rangers and, of course, the volunteers helping us and giving us the numbers to be able to do it.
And how did your role change when the contractors were here? Did you have much to do with them, or did you have
your
job and they have theirs?
No,
and
we had quite an involved working relationship, really. If there were things that needed doing that, you know, particularly Welsh Water could save some money if we were doing it rather than them getting a contractor. So if they needed anything cut back or... could be anything like that that's related to kind of grounds maintenance, and then all the fabrication stuff and all the kind of civil works, we kept right out of that, but we would be there to kind of see the contractors come in. You know, there would be plant machinery being delivered, and you know, things getting mobilized, and we'd be involved in their weekly meetings as well to make, you know, just let us know what was going on that week. And of course, then that was all going on over Reader Penai side, and this side, they'd broken ground and they sort of started the visitor centre construction, and Becht was managing that. And it was a construction company, and every now and again we'd be called over because we needed a little meeting with them, and then we'd go back, and then of course they were, the project manager Sunny Waugh was the project manager who was dealing with. You had Matt, who was dealing with the visitor centre, and Sunny would be dealing with Knights Brown, who were doing all the grounds, doing all the path installation. So they'd be back and forth with that, and we'd be involved in that. To be honest, we were involved a lot more than I thought we were going to be, because I thought us Slowly Rangers, we weren't going to be involved with that. But we ended up not quite being dealing with contractors in the way that I would say I would do now as a manager, but probably a lot more than a normal ranger would be exposed to. So it was a really interesting time, really good for me, and a lot of I got to see a lot being done, and actually for me that's the second visitor centre that I've seen built. So I saw Llandeilford being built, and then that's when I started, and then so this will be the second visitor centre that I've kind of been along for the ride for, you know.
So tell me about your job now, because you're head ranger here.
That's right,
you're
yeah,
a team
so,
of rangers, and it's all a
that's
bit different,
right. So in 2023, when we opened in July, we backtrack a little bit, back to sort of the March, April time. Alex was, he'd been very interested in the dam safety role. So we'd been involved with the dam safety inspectors, and they'd come on site, and we would kind of walk around with them. You know, it just made sense that we were kind of pooling our efforts, really. And he'd been quite taken with the role, so he applied, got a job. So I was looking then to be on my own here, so that we think, right, we, you know, what's going to happen? I then had a call to say that I needed to be involved with the interviews for the new Rangers that were going to come on site in May. So I did. And initially, I was just going to be... They were going to be my fellow work colleagues, you know, making up the team, because there wasn't really going to be a head ranger at all. It was going to be managed by the site manager, which that kind of was the model at the time for the visitor attractions. But there were talks back and forth. They realised that I'd started taking a bit of a mentorship role with the new Rangers, sort of training them up. And they approached me then and said, listen, I said, we had a little think, and although we were kind of originally going to be phasing out the head ranger role as a model, and they were going to do something different, we think it's actually really useful and applicable to have it here at the site. And we were wondering if you'd be interested. So basically what I did is I was seconded 6 months, starting from then, really. And then come Christmas time then, of 23, I applied properly then with everybody else, and yeah, I got the job. So I mean, it helped that I've been doing it for 6 months, but yeah, and that was that. But now, if you know, go back to your question. I mean, it's the first time I've ever been a manager, so for me, it was a real learning curve, and it's been good. It's been challenging at times, but no, it's been nice that I can manage a team, and they know that I've been a ranger for X amount of years, so I haven't just come in and, you know, kind of telling them what to do and blah, blah, blah. They know that I've been there, done that, and I've experienced it. And it's good for me as well, because I know that some of the problems we've had in the past, you know, I don't want to get too sort of political, sort of work politics about it, but, you know, it's I've always appreciated when we've been listened to and appreciative as a team. And so I was going to make sure I was going to do that for the Rangers here. So
because you have a rolling staff, don't you, with seasonal that's Rangers, right, as yeah, well as more, yeah, permanent.
So we got five permanent, and last year we had three seasonal. One of the seasonals have moved on to Scotland now, so we've got two seasonals still, but we'll be looking to fill that role as well. So so we've got a team of eight, and although it's such a small site compared to some of the other visitor attraction sites, sort of talking about the area, land area, it's a busy site. It's a very busy site. And because of the complexity of the Trip SI and all that's involved with the ecology, our involvement with NRW, it's complex. And it requires a bit of sensitivity, and it requires a strategic approach to manning the site, and particularly in regards to the team have to go around. And in this day and age, people are not used to being told that they can't walk where they want to walk, you know, unless it's all fenced off and keep out danger. But to be told by somebody that, please could you keep to the path and please don't walk on the grass, it seems outdated and old-fashioned kind of way of doing things, you know. So it was, I would say, 80% of the people who've come to site since we've opened have been very respectful, and maybe 85%. But we have had a remnant, sort of anywhere from between 5 and 15%, who either because they've been dog walkers or they just don't agree with it. So we have had our challenges, and but with the help of the volunteers as well, the ambassador role, which has been fantastic. And during opening time, during 2023, they were absolutely essential. They were key. They really were. And I've said many a time, you know, shortly after, that how appreciative we were of their efforts, because to use a tree analogy, because it's quite apt, they were kind of like we were like sort of the main branches, and they were all the fine twiggery, you know. And without them, we couldn't have been in the places that we needed to be, and had such a great yield of result at the end of it, you know. So they were really good.
So I wanted to ask you what might be some of the things that give you most joy, most satisfaction, maybe the working with the volunteers is one of them you've already mentioned. Are there any others that you'd
So yeah, mention? I mean, for me, the world, the kind of mysterious world of fungi, I come from an arboreal cultural background, tree background, and I've done a little bit, obviously, because they kind of go part and parcel with woodland management and everything else and ecology in general. But my first tour with Peter around site when we were looking at the wax cap was a complete eye opener, and I was like, "What is this fantastic world that's right under our feet that we, it just gets no press?" And I just think, for something that's so... And when he was explaining how integral and how essential they are to the balance of nature, my mind was blown and opened up, and I quickly became a bit of a student of Peter, and then I sort of was just consuming resources about it and looking at papers online, and I love it now, and they're part of my... trees are my first love, and the fungi are definitely a close second. So, but I love the whole remit of ecology, and that's really for me where my heart is. I love people as well. So when people and nature can get together, that's the best for me. That is 100%.
Perhaps a final question then, Gruffa. Anything you are particularly proud of in the time that you've spent here?
I would like to think that. Whatever challenges I've been given, and I didn't set out to be head ranger of Lisvain at all. It was not even on my radar. I just saw an opportunity, went with it. But it's been lovely that people have said, when I've taken tours around the site, and they say, you must have been working here years, and relatively I haven't. I've only been here a couple of years, a handful of years, and... It's lovely that I've been able to be allowed to get that involved and absorb that much. And Peter's a big influence for me for that. He's just such a fountain of knowledge. And I hope that you'll get to interview me if you haven't interviewed him already at some stage. Because you can talk for hours with Peter, he's just such a fantastic man. And being in close proximity with him has allowed me to absorb a fair bit, and I suppose going back to your question is I'm proud of the site. I'm proud of the relationships that have built this site, and I'm proud that I'm one of those people that have been involved in that. Really, I try to ignore the press around the site to a certain degree, because you can overthink what's going on to a certain degree. I just want to focus on the job at hand. But when you do take a step back every now and again and you look, you think, actually, this is pretty special. Not just because I feel that specialness, linked in with the people that are involved and the place itself, but on a kind of global looking out in kind of thing, from the out looking in, it's such a success story. It's been amazing to be a part of it, really.
So. Well, thank you, Gruff, so much for talking to us, and wish you well with the job as it continues.
Thank you very much.